The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back. Lord knows they'll try to silence our voices. They'll pretend to be patriots, fighting for fairness for all. But they're not even fit to hold office. What they believe doesn't fit with freedom at all. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street.
We are back.
Washington, D.C.
Well, here's a little bit more from the New York Times article. By the way, this is the second hour of the National Intel Report on this 24th day of October 2018. I'm your host, John Stepmiller. George, his brother, and his parents all survived the war. Soros says he came out of this experience with a strong, defiant streak, a contempt for tribalism. Well, and there is a strong contradiction here. Now, generally, population trends in Israel itself reflect distinct patterns of two subgroups. Jews, around 74.71% of the population, and Arabs, 20.7%. And over the past decade, the Muslim annual population growth has fallen significantly, from around 3% to less than 2.2% by 2013, while the overall Jewish growth rate rose from around 1.4 to 1.7, primarily due to expanding Orthodox Jewish sector. And meanwhile, the U.S. becomes South America, and Europe rejoices at the prospect of the Ottoman Empire 2.0 growing slowly and inside its belly via unchecked immigration. Now you kind of got a clearer idea here. Do you have that clip, Mike? Now, who is this? Barbara Lerner Specter, in her own words, please listen closely.
I think there's a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we're going to be part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies that they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into a multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. But without that leading role and without that transformation, Europe will not survive.
And how many buds and pals do you think they're making by spearheading this program of multiculturalizing and balkanizing and upsetting societies and culture? Do you think they're going to be given big wet kisses in public for their actions? This is a serious problem that not too many people have the courage to talk about, but it's at the root of what is ailing things. You know, and I got this year after year after year from people just banging on me going, oh, it's really the Pope. It's really the Vatican. Go soak your head. The Roman Catholic Church has been doing its best by predating on little boys here in this country. You know, you want to bust up a family, or you want to do things, okay, great. They control the money. They control our media. They control our politicians. They're the ones that wrote the hate crime laws. Isn't that fascinating? The very people that wrote the laws that says, well, you can't talk about us, otherwise you're hateful. The people backing the snowflake movement in this country, the socialists, the communists, are the very same people. We're all sitting around twiddling our thumbs going, gee, wonder who hit the lottery. Have courage, folks. God help you if your children found out that you knew the truth and you didn't do anything about it. And that's saying as if they have some semblance that they can even express anything in the future if the globalites get their way. You're seeing it going on all around you, everywhere. And there's, since the early 1900s, they invented the, kind of the political action committee, the Zionist. So if you feel uncomfortable calling it Jewish, call it Zionist. We've actually had people come out and go, oh, well, you know, Judaism and, you know, what you speak here, I think they're synonymous. I think they're the same. Okay, great. Drag down the rest of the Jews of the world. The ones there, and there are people out there, Jewish people, folks, that want to live in peace, that want to reap the benefits of this thing we call life on this little dirt ball in the sky and universe without end, but not having their itty-bitty stuff grabbed by anybody. They just want to live and work and worship the way they want to. They're not actively involved in bringing down the host country that they're now living in. By the way, there is another... what should we call these things? I've got to come up with a new name here. Gate crashers. I mean, and to look at some of the after effects of this stuff that was stirred up on college campuses in this country. You know, the people that are just traumatized. You know, don't you think that a majority of Americans were traumatized by the election of the communist? And folks, I don't say that lightly. Take a look at who his guidance counselors were. Flaming, in-your-face, communist of record. Not making this up. So did we all wail in the streets? Did we all cry that, oh my God, Obama, you know, we need to impeach him, or we need to shoot him, or we need to lock his son up and have him sodomized? And wow. Did we do any of that? Absolutely not. In many ways, somebody like Barack Hussein Obama, or Barry Sartoro, if you prefer, we looked at it as an aberration, as an alarm clock going up, that you better wake up. Ergo, Donald Trump comes along, and a lot of people are saying, well, he's an inside guy to carry out their agenda. Okay. So 25% of the students say they were traumatized by the 2016 election. Researchers surveyed Arizona State University students around the time the Donald Trump's inauguration in 2017. Some had stress scores on par with that of 7-month follow-up to school shooting witnesses. 25% of 769 students reported clinically significant levels of stress. Women, Black, Hispanic, and non-Christian students reported higher stress levels. The findings are published today as the midterm elections approach. Mia Deed Graff, the health editor from the Daily Mail, she says that a quarter of the students found 2016 so traumatic that they now report symptoms of post-traumatic stress syndrome, according to this new study. Researchers surveyed Arizona State University students around the time of Donald Trump's inauguration in 2017, and some had stress scores on par with that of school shooting witnesses. Wow. So Donald Trump is the equivalent of watching somebody get murdered. Gotcha. 25% of the 769 students were an even mix of genders and races and socioeconomic backgrounds, reported clinically significant levels of stress. The most severe cases were seen among women, Black, and non-white Hispanic students, who were 45% more likely to feel distressed by the 2016 run between Trump and Hillary Clinton. Lead researcher Melissa Hagen, an assistant professor of psychology at San Francisco State University, believes the diverse tone about race, identity, and what makes valuable American really heightened stress for a lot of people. See, these are the people that don't know enough to even know enough. Now, do we sit around and call them deplorables? Well, somewhat, to be honest. But here again, where does this go back to? Why are our students in public schools failing math? Oh, Common Core. So they don't have the information to excel. They don't learn it to master it. It's the same way that you learn of your country's history. It's the same way that you learn about the law that was there to protect everybody. And to put up a wall, if you will, against the government reaching over and grabbing your itty-bitty stuff all over the place. You know, this $1.6 billion lottery that took place yesterday? Some people look at this, well, I could spend $3 and I can have 1 in 302 million and some change odds at winning that money. But I posted yesterday, is that story up about the Detroit News, the breakdown of what the payout is? Check your own email because I sent it over last night. Were you here till close? Okay, that's why it wasn't posted. Check your email from yesterday. Okay, well, if you post it, fine, I'll find it. If you were to look at it this way, this is the prostitution house or the house of ill repute that when you enter, they pick your pockets. Show you a little good time, a little excitement. Ooh, what would I do with a $1.6 billion? But the payout on this $1.6 billion ends up being about $800 million. That's half of the jackpot paid to the state and to other entities by way of taxes. It's a way of imposing another tax. But people don't look at it, well, it's just a lottery. No, it's a cash-generating machine. And do you really know where that money's going, that the states, are they paying off their pension funds? I thought it was supposed to go for education. Well, Illinois was so damn broke that they couldn't even make payouts on the lottery last year. Why? Because they were taking the lottery money and paying other bills. Of course, that's justified when you got a state that's in that much trouble. I mean, who could argue with plugging up the Dutchie Boy holes in the dike? We can't drown, can we? We can't let that happen to people. So we'll just steal it. Well, it was a necessity. It was necessary. You know, I'm tired of a government of necessity. And that usually means you being raped, robbed, and pillaged and basically being bent over on a daily basis. While they have absolutely no restraint in spending money, killing millions of people around the world, investing huge amounts of money in this or that, social programs that they shouldn't be involved in the first place, that somehow that the bottom line just kind of got away from them. And then rather than coming out, now Donald Trump said this last week. Donald, here's the Dutchie boy approach to, well, he's ordering his departments to cut 5% of their budget. That only affects 25% of the programs and agencies and whatnot of the government. Only a quarter. But guess what? The government's not taking in enough revenue, so what are they going to have to do? Oh, that's right. They have to borrow from those guys called the Bankster Gangsters. And it's not interest-free. The juice is still running. Further and further and further and further in insurmountable debt that we will never, ever, ever be able to get away from. How are you feeling about your future right now, folks? By the way, is this Hinckley talking to me exactly what John said? That Soros Foundation was to leave Hungary by the end of August, and that was the Times of Israel. Wonder why they were throwing him out of Hungary. Oh. Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so. Now back to this mind-screwed snowflake at our universities. Most, 56.4% of the students who live in the state that voted for Trump said they were not happy with the result. 20% somewhat dissatisfied and 38% completely satisfied. Meanwhile, 18.5% of the students said they were completely satisfied with the result and 25% were somewhat satisfied. There's your 38% number. In terms of how election impacted their lives, 65% said there was no impact. 10% that said they saw a positive impact. But a quarter of these were so crestfallen, their symptoms would deem a medical condition severe enough to interfere with their work, their social activities, and personal relationships. White people were less affected than black and non-white Hispanic students, women who were 45% more likely to be distressed than their male peers. Non-Christians were far more distressed than Christians, the study found. Well, I wonder why. You're rooted in nothing, you're going to be whipsawed everywhere. The election was dramatic, controversial, riddled with the FBI investigation, Russian meddling, and grab them by the... I'm not even going to go there. Polls and Clinton winning with a probability of somewhere between 70 and 99%, according to Pew Research. On the night, outsider Trump took key states, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and the map went red. The election also came amid soaring rates of stress and anxiety among young people, the generation who have grown up with social media. These are the people, folks, that this country is going to be left to. As I said earlier, how are you feeling about your future now? Most of the students in the study said they were consumed, that they consumed their election coverage via social media, which psychologists and pediatricians warn is usually the driving factor for millennial anxiety, as it fuels extremist, angry pockets among like-minded groups. Dr. Hagen, whose study is published today in the Journal of the American College of Health, says that the social media factor cannot be ignored. So who are they getting rid of on the social media? You and I. That ought to solve the problem, huh? Again, let me ask you, who's in control? I think you already know the answer to that question. We'll break. Open up the phone lines, 800-313-9443.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Soon you will be dancing face to face with the limits of ambition and the scars of the marketplace. Welcome to the land of flame and fizz, where you will learn that packaging is all that heaven is.
Got the little black car, little black dress. We got the guru on the train and the full course.
To the phones we go, Eric in Tennessee. Hello, Eric.
Hey, John, I'll be nice. I wanted to bring up the Byzantine Empire. From what I understand, they went for 1,500 years with the Jews in the empire. But the Jews weren't allowed to hold parts in education, finance, or politics, or legalities, or lawyers.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to them at the end?
Answer your own question.
They took it all over.
Say it ain't so.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
You're saying so.
You know, I mean, look, Eric, I'm fascinated with people that are afraid to touch this because they're afraid the big bad boogeyman is going to swoop in and charge them with hate crimes or speaking the truth. Let me put it to you this way, Eric: if we're afraid to speak the truth, then we're guaranteeing our own demise.
I'm ready to speak the truth. I mean, I was just speaking some history. And we already know the problem today, who's invaded our country and many other countries throughout the planet.
Okay, who?
The Jews.
Invaded?
The Jews have infiltrated everything. that there is on the planet.
Okay, but they're not coming by mass migration, not crashing borders. They're sitting around comfortable with... They're listen to me. They're sitting around comfortable in their own businesses that they've built in their host countries.
Right.
Yeah, it's not like they're destitute and, you know, I'm seeing commercials here. We give $3 billion a year to Israel and have since Hector was a pup. But hold on, Eric, please. But I'm seeing commercials now running on TV that, oh, you got to help us save the poor starving Israelis inside Israel. Look at these poor people. And they go back to, they pick out a few faces that look like they might be old enough to maybe have been born around the time of World War II going, oh, look, the oppressed. Here again, victim status. But what are they doing with their $3 billion a year that we're giving them? And I'm not talking about what they're...
I'm with you, John. Yeah, I'm with you on the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I was making a point just in case other people, Eric, don't understand. I was making the point not to you, to them.
Okay.
All right?
That's good.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, my front site check went through today, so you'll be getting some money tomorrow probably.
Hallelujah. I appreciate that, Eric.
Yeah.
It's time to arm up.
I hope that helps out. And still, I don't know if you... I didn't even look at the website today, but we talked about the claw thing on Monday.
I'm glad you faded on that. I'm glad you faded on that one, Eric.
I'll just have to email Steve and have him send it to me. Then I'll be happy, and I'll still send you another $100.
And Steve is listening to the program today. I'm sure he's already doing it as we speak.
Okay, he doesn't have my email yet, but he will shortly. Or maybe he does if you guys gave it.
I don't know why this is so important that we split we spread this claw thing, but if you feel compelled to, please.
Yeah, it was humorous, John. You got to take some credit for it because it was hilarious, and it gave me a great chuckle. And I know what you're going through. Cause I'm going through a lot of hell too, you know. And it's like, you know, just lighten up a little bit and enjoy some life.
Thank you, Eric.
As much as you can.
Thank you, Eric.
Welcome, John.
All right.
Take care. I love you, man.
Who was the song that they sang the famous words, you got to go through hell before you get to heaven? Yeah. Wait a minute. My inbox is full. I've had enough of hell. Daniel in British Columbia. Hello, Daniel.
Hello, John. Yeah, there's a guy that you might want to get on as a guest for your show. He was on RBN about 2 weeks ago. I think it was on National Bugle Radio.
I'm sorry. Wait a minute. Your phone connection here is absolutely lousy. Are you on a cell phone or a speakerphone?
I'm on a cell phone.
Okay. Can you gravitate to some place that gives you more bars?
This is the best I got right here.
Okay, repeat what you just said.
There's a guest you should try and get on your show. His name is Patrick Little, and he ran against Dianne Feinstein in the California Senate race. He was polling about 18% behind her, and his whole platform is naming the Jew. That's his thing. He says the problem with America is the aforementioned, and he just kind of walks around taking cross-country tours, and he goes up to people and says, you know, are you aware who runs the country, and so forth.
Jeez. He's an ex-Marine. Okay.
Spent his time watching his friends die in Afghanistan.
Okay. All right, and again, his name is Patrick Little.
Patrick Little, yeah.
And you don't remember whose show he was on?
It was a rebroadcast. So I was pretty sure it was National Bugle Radio with Patrick Slattery, but it could be wrong.
Okay, all right, that'll give me enough. All right, thank you, Daniel.
Cheers.
All right. Welcome. Cheers. Don't they just say that in England, not in Canada? We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Into the crowded line, break down, take down, you busted.
All right, we are back. Black minister rather had to. How bold is this? Black minister is asking, "What if whites strike back against race baiters and race mongers, warmongers?" Michael Massey from the Independent Minute says it would serve race mongers well to consider that even a docile old dog will bite you if you mistreat it often enough and long enough. Tangential to the same is the reality of the laws of unintended consequence. I'm tired of seeing, reading, and hearing white people blamed for everything, from black boys not being able to read to whites being privileged because of the color of their skin. If I'm tired of these Americans being used as scapegoats to further the agenda of race mongers, then it is sure bet that those being unjustly vilified are especially weary of same. This isn't 1860, and it certainly isn't 1955. There are no slaves in America, and there are no Jim Crow laws dictating access based on skin color. Specific to that point, it is time to remind people like Obama, Al Sharpton, and the new Black Panther Party that the racial discord they are fomenting can become the harbinger of their own peril. Obama foments racial unrest and racial divide to further his neo-Leninist agenda. Sharpton foments racial unrest for personal gain. The new Black Panther Party foments racial hostilities and the demonization of whites in this foolish belief that they can bring about Western version of apartheid where blacks rule. Too many blacks have lost sight of the fact that it was Africans who were responsible for the enslavement of other Africans. It was war, invasion, conquest, and various caste systems that contributed to slavery. And although one would be hard-pressed to believe it from the invented myths that masquerade as fact, persons of color were not the only slaves. From Genesis to Sudan of today, slavery has been a staple around the world. And it should be noted that given the first opportunity in America, the former slaves of color became owners of those whose skin color matched theirs. But unlike the rest of the world, America had the good sense and decency to end slavery. In America, there is no caste system, and yet at every turn we're bombarded with how bad blacks have it because of whites, how unfair the so-called white system is to blacks. All people, including those who are here illegally, have it better in America than they would have it anywhere else on earth. And yet blacks are encouraged to blame their ills on whites. Therein the laws of unintended consequences comes into play. America has shed the blood of her people on her own soil to ensure the freedoms of all Americans. Americans join hands with blacks to end Jim Crow, and to the detriment of all concern, political correctness and guilt have contributed to discrimination against white vis-a-vis race-based affirmative action initiatives. Still, the bastardization of white continues. White law enforcement personnel are labeled racist for defending themselves against black criminals, especially when bad things happen to black criminals. To put it succinctly, the single greatest non-biblical truth today is that many times the majority of blacks are their own worst enemies. Many blacks go through life with a chip on their shoulder and bad attitudes towards whites. Many blacks growing up in dysfunctional single-parent or no-parent homes are loath to realize that their lives are the result of bad decisions made by their families that adversely affect their adulthood. It's not the white man. But as I said, there is a thing called the laws of unintended consequences. To that end, sooner or later, a pendulum reaches its arc and starts to swing back in the other direction. How long before white people, many of whom are growing increasingly resentful at being falsely maligned, decide to respond in kind? How much longer will whites stand by and allow the likes of Sharpton and Obama to continually cast them as racist villains? In 1915 silent movie The Birth of a Nation by D.W. Griffith, which depicted blacks as unintelligent and sexual predators of white women, gave rise to the resurrection of the Ku Klux Klan, which can be thought about the heathen behavior of many blacks today. And by the way, the Ku Klux Klan was mainly what? Manned by Democrats. Many blacks are quick to attack those who condemn the untoward barbaric behavior of some blacks. They curse us for not glossing over their behavior and not engaging in blame whitey. But if a phony movie was able to give rise to at least two generations of condemnation of blacks, what will in-your-face belligerent hostilities, so many of them exhibit today, ultimately result in? America has figuratively bent over backwards to assuage its perceived guilt, but for many blacks, that's not good enough. They accuse and self-alienate, but do nothing to incorporate the greatness of America into their lives. How much longer will America allow blacks to vilify those who have done them no harm? Even as blacks attack, terrorize, and condemn those who truly do just want to just get along. Remember Rodney King? Why can't we all just get along? In 2013, the U.S. Census Bureau estimated there are 45,003,665 African Americans in the United States, meaning that 14.1% of the total American population of the 316.1 million is black. To put things in perspective, The U.S. Census Bureau estimates that white Americans are the racial majority with a 77.7% share of the U.S. population. And guess what? That percentage would drop drastically if the illegal aliens in this country were to fill the census out, which they don't. Now, no one with any shred of intelligence wants to see a race war break out in neighborhoods across America. Why? Because so many innocent men and women and children would lose their lives in the hands of the thuggery that was witnessed in Ferguson, Baltimore, Milwaukee, New Orleans, and abroad. I don't agree with this thuggery, well, depending on his perspective here. I don't think he was talking about the cop that was literally protecting himself. He said, I realize that math isn't a strength for a lot of people, but those on the left seem hell-bent on inciting a race war, need to take a few steps back and realize that numbers are not on their side. Now, geez, if I wouldn't have given you the source or the color of the skin of the guy that wrote that, you could swear that this came out of a neo-Nazi camp. Hot off the presses. Oh, there's more of that racism. No, here's a black guy that understands exactly why and how things are happening. And the condemnation of these Democrats that want to keep status quo and their people, quote-unquote people in the inner cities, well, they just wanted to keep them in their place so they could stay in power and collect billions of dollars from the U.S. government to do absolutely nothing constructive with it. You know, down here in Texas, at least where I live here in Texas, folks, there's a small minority down here that are black. But you know what? During the discourse of a day, out and about, going to stores or the local Stop and Rob, doors that are opened for white people by blacks and blacks that open doors for white people, thank yous and please or excuse me, the polite interaction that we would expect from all Americans, regardless of their damn color. That happens here in Central Texas, folks. How is it in your neighborhood? I realize this is not the inner city. And I have called blacks out here in Round Rock for giving me this street corner jive and the head wagging BS. Talking to me like I am, I don't know. That I don't even know a good example in which to give you. That somehow I might be hanging black people in my backyard from my peach tree. And when I simply ask him, do you know where you're at? This is Texas. This isn't a street corner in Detroit. This is not the inner city of South Chicago or South LA. You're in Texas. And they stop and they look at you and they realize that their diatribe ain't working on you. And they quickly turn on their heels and walk away. And that goes for all age groups, whether it's elderly white women, middle-aged white women, young black kids, it doesn't matter. Has the very same effect. In other words, what I'm saying is your crap stops here. They realize they get that opposition and they don't have a crowd around them to create a riot. Now, this is not a black and white issue per se, but this victim status that has been empowered them so much that life is unfair, and that because I was born poor that it's somebody else's fault rather than my own that prevents me from getting an education. You know what? I don't give a damn if you're poor and you're destitute. You know what you can do? You can literally do this. You can go to a public library. You can sit down at a computer. You can take a GED, or you can take advanced college classes online. And many of these services are offered free. So I don't want to help myself. I don't want to get out of the pain and the misery and the absolute blight that I see all around me. I'm just going to sit and stew and blame everybody else. Do you think America would have even been built if everybody had that attitude? But their attitude now is, well, to bring down this fascist, this corporatist, this capitalist, we need democracy and we need to do away with this. And, well, as Michael Moore just came out, finally the fat man has said it, we need to get rid of the Constitution. Wow, thank you, fat boy. Thank you very much. You know, there are many other countries that would welcome you with open arms. Probably all socialist or communist, but hey, what do you care? You still have your money in your bank account, don't you? While you're proposing that people that have money in their bank accounts, well, to be, you know, some kind of social justice warrior, we're going to empty out your bank account to satisfy those that won't lift a finger to help themselves. I'm going to say this clearly and succinctly. You can kiss my ass. And for those who are offended by that, I'm sorry that you're offended, but that's the way I feel. It's a laying that away. Ed in Utah. Hello, Ed.
Hello, John.
Yes.
Yeah, very good show tonight. Just full of information. Boy, don't you feel sorry for the Clintons there with that somebody threw a bomb their way. I mean, man, I'm really concerned for their safety.
And who do you think might have done this? Do you think it was some angry white neo-Nazi nationalist that did this?
No, I go back to like 9/11 itself, John Coy Bono, who benefits, and the supposed bomb scare against the Hungarian Jew. Soros didn't really fly, so they figured they'd bring it close to home here and pretend there was some scare, a bomb against CNN and Hillary and that whole crowd. But anyway, I just had a couple of things on two of your subjects. You had a caller talking about this Pat Little,
mm-hmm.
and he was John, he's a force to be reckoned with, and he is a Marine combat veteran. I think he hails from Maine originally, but he does reside in California, and he was leading in the Republican primary. He never did get a chance to face off with Guy Fieri. They had to stop him. So I think what they did in his case is what they did in Roy Moore's case, where they did vote deletion. They didn't flip them with the machines; they just deleted them.
Yeah.
There's a 500,000 missing votes and Republican votes in Alabama. They still haven't found, John. And this is what they did in the Republican primary because they showed him at zero votes in San Francisco, which was totally false because he had the Palestinians. There's a small Palestinian neighborhood up there, and he had assurances of votes from several thousand of them people. And yet the polling showed like near 0% total falsehood. So this guy, I heard him in a debate against a San Diego Jew, a Zionist Jew, and he holds his own incredibly. He's only in his early 30s, and he speaks very knowledgeable. He reminds me of people from the American Free Press newspaper. So I do encourage you to find this guy. And yes, he would have. He put out in the media, and that's why they stopped him, that Dianne Feinstein is a dual citizen. And they proceeded just to break down so much against what Zionism has done to this country.
You know, is it my imagination, or does Dianne Feinstein look like George Soros now?
She looks very much so.
She looks bad.
Yep, she does. And I did want to bring up something about the Trump administration. Just like we all said at the time, John, we rolled the dice. And so far, the chips aren't in yet, but there are some great things to celebrate. There's some causes for concern. It's the little areas of new swamp creatures like this Ken Marcus, who is behind the Trump's recent war against the Palestinians, a turnabout, if you will. Well, what this Ken Marcus does, he now heads up a big branch. He's the Education Assistant Secretary. Heading up civil rights. And Ken Marcus, he's now got his hands on a lot of direction of money. And so if a Jew complains, let's say at Rutgers, where they're targeting right now, if a Jew complains that he's been offended by criticism of Israel, They about have it in place to where this Ken Marcus, an ardent Zionist, can delete funding, or he can end funding based on some kind of a hate law written up by the ADL.
And Ed,
let me
summarize this entire conversation here. What they don't like, they're eliminating. The voice that they don't want to hear, they're shutting down. They're defunding them. They're throwing them off the social platforms. We're getting propagandized. Anybody notice there's certain nuances going on with your entertainment programming and your half-hour comedy shows now? They've opened up the floodgates. This is a psychological assault, if you will, on the American people, and it's propagandizing them. And then they criticize you when you point something out that they call you a racist or this, that, and the other. It is those that are calling other people these names that are guilty of the deeds themselves. Wow.
Yes.
All right.
Can I make one last point, John?
Quickly.
Okay. It has to do with Michael Savage. I really believe that, yes, he's an American Jew, but I think he's more American than Jewish. He is really taking on and taking some heat. In fact, now he's going to be reduced to a 1 hour from the first of the year, and then a second hour podcast. I think they're slowly trying to move him out because he brought up the CIA connection in the Blasey Ford situation.
Mm-hmm.
He'll take on other Zionist American Jews.
Mm-hmm.
He'll even go against Glenn Beck and Mark Levin. I really think they're starting to isolate Mike Savage.
Well,
and yes, he did. Sorry.
And Ed, this is why, and I got to cut you loose because I got something I need to do before the end of the show. But again, this is why this network is important to maintain and have around. This is what I've been telling people. We're one of the last networks out there in the quote-unquote alternative media. And people, don't be confused with people that do podcasts or, you know, they do a show on somebody's stream or something somewhere. This is an established full-service network with archives, satellite, radio, the whole nine yards. And for the minuscule amount that it takes to run this, to me it's not minuscule, but for $11,500 a month, you don't get a straw sip here of the truth. You get a damn fire hose pressure. So, Ed, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. Thomas, I'll take your call if I have got a minute, but I got to get through this one. This is one thing that I wanted to cover before we get out of here. The appeals court has said that police can violate our rights without fear of being sued. For those of you that claim we don't live in a police state, I give you this recent Michigan appeals court ruling. In 2015, Deputy James Dawson went to Joshua Brennan's home and knocked on his door trying to obtain a breath sample. When Brennan did not answer the door, Dawson spent an hour and a half knocking on his doors and windows. Officer Dawson also put the yellow crime scene tape over Brennan's security cameras to conceal his actions and used his siren and cruiser lights in an attempt to rouse him. When Brennan finally opened his door, Officer Dawson forced him to take a breathalyzer and arrested him for a probation violation, even though he blew a 0.000. All of this was done without a warrant. Warrantless breathalyzer test was not a condition of Brennan's probation, by the way. And if you think it's obvious to any reasonable person that his rights were violated, then you don't know how the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals interprets the Constitution. The fact that this even went to the appeals court speaks volumes about our justice system. Let's get back to this ruling. Judge Nayla Bandian said that the officer Dawson did violate Brennan's Fourth Amendment rights by searching him without a warrant. Well, sounds pretty good so far, right? Well, not quite. Nalabandian went on to say police actions that violate the Constitution do not lead to liability. Huh? What? That court also ruled that since Officer Dawson's implied license was not clearly established, and because of that old police standby, deficient training, he cannot be sued. To say the court's reasoning is frustrating is an understatement. The court said that because Wilson and Clare County were not an actual or constructive notice that the deputy training was deficient, they could not be held liable. Does anybody really think the police are held to a higher standard when they constantly use the deficient training excuse? If you're upset by the court's ruling that police are not liable for violating the Constitution, I warn you, it only gets worse. Citizens must prove to judges that violating our rights is unlawful. According to the Sixth Circuit, and this speaks volumes about our justice system, the plaintiff bears the burden of proving that the right was so well settled that every reasonable official would understand that what he is doing is unlawful. In other words, citizens must prove to a reasonable official, meaning a judge here, that a police officer violated the Constitution is unlawful. Now, the Sixth Circuit claimed that since the Hardesty v. Hamburg Township ruling did not set a limit on how long a police officer can harass people at their homes, Brennan cannot sue the police. Even though they admitted that, absent a warrant, a police officer has no greater license to remain on the property than a Girl Scout or a trick-or-treater. Now, the ruling repeatedly admits that Dawson arguably violated the Constitution, but states for a second time that even if the government official violated the constitutional right, the officer is entitled to qualified immunity. The Sixth Circuit refused to view the constitutionality of the officer's conduct or even continuing viability of the case. Not only did the appeals court rule that Brennan cannot sue the police for violating his rights, but they dismissed his unlawful arrest claim as well. Only one judge, Karen Moore, dissented and agreed, like any reasonable official should, saying Brennan's rights were violated and the officer could be sued. Now, why is the media silent when rulings as egregious as this are taking place across this country? Proving to reasonable officials that violating our rights is unlawful? America is on a fast track to becoming a police state. Thomas in Florida, you got about a minute.
Hello.
Hi.
Thanks for having me on. I just wanted to restate what two of your other callers brought up. You need to check out this guy named Patrick Little. He's in his mid-30s. I think he was 6 or 7 years in the Marine Corps. He appears to speak fluent German. He has educated himself. He is educated to begin with, but he seems to have educated him quite well on what's going on. And he definitely had a big showing in the Senate race in California. And also, he has spawned a whole group of younger people under 40, namely a guy called Handsome Truth.
Okay.
And another one called No More News, and another one called Red Elephants. And these are people that are they are all under 40, and they've really figured it out. And I think they're to our benefit. I mean, we're going to be gone.
Okay, very good. Thomas, I've got to run. I thank you for your call, and I'll look into Mr. Little. By the way, in case anybody forgets here, Rome didn't fall to any invasions. Rome fell to a demographics. The U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion. What is heading our way? Funded by George Soros. And there's another one right behind them, folks. This is what America is coming to. It's time to stand up. Otherwise, you know what your future is going to be like. Folks, support this network. Make a donation today. Keep us on the air, for God's sakes. For all of our sakes. For the future generations and the continuity of a republic. Not this democracy they keep claiming it is.
Business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping including the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.